This conference is being recorded.
All right. Looks like Brad just dropped off again. Well, hope he joins back up, but why don't we go ahead and get started with today's discussion. Just wanted to give an overview for folks who haven't been to the meetings the last couple weeks. We actually had a couple special topic meetings back to back. 2 weeks ago, we had a OSGI discussion about our experiences so far in OSGI, and Bill and Andrew shared their experiences with DuraCloud, and Eddie shared some of his experience so far. And then last week we talked about the implications of formally merging Fedora's API-A and API-M. That seemed like a pretty rich topic for discussion, actually. So we decided to spin it off into a special topics meeting. So long story short, it's been a few weeks since our last regular status call, and this is just a regular status call today. So I threw an agenda together this morning. I don't know if folks had time to look at it, but basically the things that I know of that are going on right now, we've got the Maven build, which is still having some tweaks put on it to get it working better. And we have something that I've been working on the last few days called Easy Service, which I wanted to talk about. Did anybody else have any items they wanted to add to that? I think we should be able to keep it relatively short today. I did want to get a chance to go through our newly submitted issues, too. And actually, I haven't looked at those, but we'll see. We'll see what's there. So first off, the Maven build status. So we reached an important milestone, I think it was last week, right, Andrew?
Where the build.xml went away.
Could you say that again, please?
Did I hear that?
Yep. So we got the Ant. Ant is actually Andrew got Ant out of our hair for now. So we are totally switched over to Maven now. There's still some pieces that need to be put in place, but I think that's a really important achievement for us. So pat on the back to Andrew for pushing through with that. Thank you.
Sure. It seems like the big thing that needs to happen still on that is that sort of dependency pushdown that we've talked about several times. Just the fact that all the dependencies are defined at the top level and they need to get pushed down into their appropriate sub-projects.
We want to put the dependencies in the right spots right now. The dependencies are defined in kind of a monolithic way, but the other thing is making sure the dependencies are actually loaded from a remote repository too, because I think that will help. Once we get there, that'll help with integration with the IDEs and whatnot. So I noticed, Andrew, that you had been putting together a guide on building with Maven, or doing a building for source, I think? Are you?
Well, yeah, that was already out there. I just, it sort of detailed what Ant targets you should be running, and so I updated it with the Maven commands, and as well as a few useful Maven commands that you might want to use. So that's just, wherever on our installation or configuration or wherever on the wiki page or somewhere.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
So have we come to any sort of short-term closure of the dependencies that are not publicly hosted currently? We're just going to go ahead and push them in the Maven repository that you have set up, Chris?
Yeah, unless, I mean, I'm actually, is Mark Diggory on the call today?
No, I don't think so.
I think we, you know, we had talked a while ago about, and I think we both still want to do this, is have a common repository that we publish our artifacts to. But until that time, we do have individual repositories that we can have up and running just to kind of get things going. For right now, until we have such a common repository, I think just publishing to that local one is the right move.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and start chipping away at that in the time gaps I have.
Cool. Right. Anything else? Anybody on Maven?
Well, so as far as that goes, are we going to do a package renaming?
I think that was something that we had planned for the end of the process, right?
Okay.
Yeah, when we wanted to push it out to Maven Central? Like,
well, I guess that's part of it, is I think before pushing out to Maven Central, we want to get our packaging story straight. But we had actually talked about redefining the root package name for the Fedora classes. So right now, like, it's Fedora. We might, you know, we might do like org.duraspace.fedora or org.fedoracommons or whatever. But we just figured, since this is sort of a time of significant shifting, it seems like now's as good a time as any to do that, because we know that the build has changed pretty drastically, so we might as well keep it limited to one drastic change event. I think that was listed under the main plan. If you go to that page, it's listed under number 5, and it's got a little warning sign next to it, meaning it's not done.
Well, I brought it up because, I mean, if we're going to, I mean, well, so of course we have to do something, we have to do this package renaming if we're ever going to get it to Maven Central, but if we're also going about making the split between the stuff we can pull from the public repositories out there and then publishing our own stuff, we might as well get that package name right for when we are packaging up our own modules that aren't being provided. Otherwise, that's yet another refactoring, or, you know, just sort of redoing of effort at some point when we do decide on that name change. If we all know we're going to do the name change, we might as well just pick it and do it.
Yeah.
And then someone doesn't
have
to go back.
I guess there's just that step of picking it first.
Yeah. So do we have any candidates you guys want to mention, and we can just sort of put them out there and maybe stew on them for the next week or so?
I think it's the two you mentioned, right? I mean, it's org Fedora Commons, and it's got to be the one without the dash. So just
right.
Fedora Commons, one word, or it's got to be a DuraSpace-based one. Or DuraSpace Fedora sounds as good as any DuraSpace-based one, to my mind.
So, or DuraSpace Fedora. Any others?
Yeah, right now, the way it's in the POM file, certainly not the way it is in the actual package names, but in the POM file, the group ID is org.duraspace. Just
okay.
As a data point.
Yeah. As another data point, it seems like what we're doing on Dura Cloud is org.duraspace
Azure cloud. Oh, yeah. So you're doing it like as a product specific rather than based on the host organization.
Right.
Well, it has certain advantages. I mean, it, in general, it's shorter, except for the fact that Fedora Commons is long.
Right. I guess one thing that sort of Brad mentioned a while back is that the DSpace, in, you know, in the DSpace world, they've gone through a migration, you know, just in the last couple of years of organization name changing like 3 times. And
yeah.
You know, ideally, you know, if the organization name changes for whatever reason, we wouldn't have to repackage everything in the code base.
Yeah. So is the artifact ID something that typically matches the root package name then? I mean, you don't have a different root package name than your artifact ID, right? That's just a convention. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely buy that argument. Of, you know, you're immune to having to change it in the future as long as you make it based on the product rather than the hosting organization. So I just not particularly fond of org about Fedora Commons, but.
So actually, and that I just realized, I think earlier on when we talked about the org.fedora commons name, I think actually we were even thinking it was supposed to be something like org fedora commons and then yet another, like org fedora commons fedora, because, you know, at the time we were thinking of all the other things under the umbrella of fedora commons that might be made in projects. So I guess just to throw that in there.
So you're saying, even though...
So, I mean, yeah. I think at one point we were actually thinking that it was supposed to be something like org Fedora Commons Fedora, parallel
yeah.
to org Eurospace Fedora.
Right.
I don't know if that really applies anymore. Maybe org Fedora Commons is just enough. But
yeah, if we're going to go that route, I'd be more inclined to go with, you know, org Fedora Commons repository or something.
Yeah.
Seems like that gives a little bit more information.
Or there's always info Fedora. But no, I think that one. Well, that one has the advantage of shortness, I guess. But other than that, I don't think anyone really likes that one. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Org Fedora Commons repository. At least it's
really long,
not redundant. Yeah.
And Fedora Commons is one word?
Yeah. In a package name, we can't have a dash, right? So, and we do own that host name, too, org.fedora commons without a dash. So, that seems to be the leading contender for now.
So I say we just, I mean, unless there's some other concerns that are not for us to decide, I mean, maybe we can just stew on it and then basically everyone decide to make a vote on it by next week and then
yeah.
go for it rather than let this just kind of hang on there.
Yeah. Does it make more sense to actually do it before the dependency stuff is worked out or after? Right now it's scheduled for being after.
I don't think it matters too much with the exception of the ones that we're going to be hosting. And I suspect that those might come towards the end anyway, so I think we have some time.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's a good suggestion, Eddie. Next week we'll just come together and make a decision on what we're going with there.
There's always SurveyMonkey. Any opportunity to use SurveyMonkey?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. Okay, so easy service. Let me give a little bit of background on this. So Thorny and I were talking about this, and actually it came up at RiRi when we were out there a few weeks ago too, that it's still rather difficult to create Fedora service definitions and deployments. And the best chance people have at doing those are to look at our demos, which actually it turns out aren't really that great of examples of creating these things. So last week, Sorny had another question about this and where the documentation was, and it was really lacking, and so I just decided to go ahead and put it out there in the system docs. So basically, within the Fedora 3.0 docs, we now have a content model construction guide, or CMA construction guide, which isn't complete, but it does have detailed instructions on how do you create a service definition object, how do you create a service deployment object. Well, it's very good to have that stuff documented at a low level, but that's not that's still not as usable as it needs to be, because people don't think in terms of our rather complex structures that the Fedora service deployment and definitions are today. They're pretty hard to put together. Even if you do have good documentation, it takes quite a bit of work. When, in the end, really all you're doing in a service definition object is you're defining a set of methods and the arguments that those methods take, user inputs. And in a service deployment object, all you're really doing is pointing to a content model object and a service definition object, and then you're saying, what are the data stream inputs for each method, and what other pieces of input do those methods have? We called them default inputs, which are just any string. And then what's a URL pattern for invoking the service? As part of this process of looking through this and documenting it last week, I really wanted to make it easier for people to create these. So there's a link on the agenda page to this Easy Service page, which describes what it's all about. But basically, I came up with two fairly simple schemas. One is what I'm calling the easy def format, and the other one is called the easy dep format. And they're basically the minimal amount of information you need to provide to construct a working service definition object or service deployment object. It doesn't include anything about adding Dublin Core or labels in bizarre space places or even declaring MIME type requirements. It's at the absolute minimum that you need to provide to Fedora to get it operating with a service that's out there. So I just put this out there. Actually just tested it last night and just put this little utility out there as a tarball on the wiki, just as an attachment. But I wanted to, especially for people who are familiar with service definitions and deployments, I know a lot of people just completely ignore them, but if you have experience with them in the past, I'd love to get your thoughts on this service and whether it works for you. I did some pretty extensive testing in putting this thing together. It's really just a simple utility, not intended to be sort of the be-all, end-all Fedora service tool. It's just something that's really helpful for now. just with the state of things as they are. So that's my spiel.
So, Chris, this is Sandy.
Nice.
So what's really clever about this is one of the reasons that we've lived in this situation for so long where people have had to handcraft these service definition objects is the fear of having to rip apart the internal code that parses all this stuff, having been one of the people who wrote that code. This was a clever way to, you know, basically use XSLT to, you know, keep the core notion inside as it is and do what we really wanted, which was just some really simple XML to basically state these methods and their parameters. And it's like, it's amazing that we actually didn't do this sooner. It's one of those like, ah, yeah, of course, this is like what we should have done. So it's a good move.
Cool.
Do you mind that guy from the Semantic Web mailing list who I was answering questions for, who sort of brought me to this with you, he's willing to test some things out. Do you mind if I point him to it?
Oh, that would be great. Absolutely.
He's figuring out how to write these now, and he's watching what you were doing with the construction set because he's watching the wiki. So I'll let him know.
Cool. Well, I think to me it kind of acts as another step toward simplifying the service definitions and deployments in Fedora. So, you know, we have the problem of we've got a bunch of somewhat icky code in Fedora that is doing this work right now, and it is, you know, it is a bit troublesome to just go in and tweak a little thing when really what we want to do is rip it out and put it together in a simpler way. And I think eventually we want to get there. So to me, this kind of we've talked about this desire to simplify the service definitions and deployments, and also especially to have them be more REST friendly down the road, to where, you know, you could potentially invoke other HTTP methods like post and put and delete via these methods. So it kind of helps me envision like what would that look like, you know, if we were to rip that code out and make this and simplify these the definition objects themselves. The approach here is give me something simple and I'll generate the complex thing that Fedora needs. But I actually think it's important eventually to get to the point where the thing that Fedora needs is also simple.
I agree with that.
So, Chris, I like this, and going along with what you're saying with regard to, you know, making it more REST friendly, it feels like this is something that just at least for the interim, while we're waiting for, you know, simplification to happen under the covers, it might be nice to tie in a couple methods on the REST API that just make calls to this, you know, easy service conversion that allow people to just send in their XML and have their SDEF objects created using this easier XML pattern.
So, like, I was actually thinking of something along those lines too, because the new web admin, I was thinking about, okay, well, how could we add this, the capability to author these things to the new web admin without requiring people enter any XML? And the answer is,
right.
I mean, we've got the ability to bring up forums and ask questions and things, and even in memory put together a little XML file for submitting somewhere, but that's kind of the process we want. Ultimately, is that, you know, it's not like this offline thing. You have to go off in a corner and run this little thing, and then come back to Fedora and say, "Okay, I'm ready with this file." So I think, by providing it as a an endpoint on the repository, or you know, maybe a well, I don't know exactly how what makes sense here to provide this on the repository. I mean, we could just come up with like a temporary thing that works, and then integrate it with the web admin. But another approach, which is probably worth investigation, is whether whether the web admin itself can do any of this work client side, because all it is a style sheet transformation, and then that keeps the API to Fedora fairly.
I think trying to push a style sheet transformation into a Flex app would be tough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feels to me like it would be would be in better shape to make these REST API methods, and then use the web admin to just make calls and push in the XML, so that we can create the XML on the web admin side. Yeah, the easy def XML, that we can do, I think, reasonably easily with the UI, but trying to do the transforms seems a bit heavy.
Do you mean processor-wise, or you mean that Flex isn't capable of doing it? I mean,
meaning that Flex isn't really capable of doing it. I mean, you have to remember this is really, it's all running in a Flash player. So in order to do something like a transform, you're going to have to send out to some make a call to some other service anyway, and that service might as well be just the REST API.
Yeah.
Well, this is Aaron. So what's the difference between creating such a API method for giving an XML file like this and then having Fedora create the right objects versus creating an alternate kind of SDEP implementation. So you can create SDEPs that look, they have the WSDL in it, and simple SDEPs that have this in it, and Fedora will sort of do the right thing with whatever one it has.
Yeah, so that's an interesting point, Aaron. I mean, ultimately, what you submit to Fedora is typically a Foxnell file, right? So it's a fully formed Fedora object. So what if we had an alternate form of that, is what you're asking, where the only required data stream in it was one of these, and then Fedora just used that directly instead of the WSDL and NetMap and all that business?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that kind of as a path to, sort of if you want to deprecate the WSDL stuff and just have it still work, but, in the demo objects, have them in the simple format and kind of encourage the simple format and, at some point then, either dropping support or carrying it along for the, WSDL stuff in Fedora. But
yeah. Well, and we have kind of a hook for doing that, at least at the data level. We could define service deployments that were, or definitions that were in this simpler format, we could just define them as being of the content model service deployment 1.1, and then it would be easy for Fedora to tell which is which when it's doing the work of fulfilling requests. So,
yeah,
I like that. It comes down to timing. It's I think ultimately having a service definition and deployment approach that supports more REST verbs is quite important for us. And it seems to me like the next step for this, somebody could prove it out with the UI, but I speculated at the end of this document about probably what I think is it might be seen as kind of a temporary hack if you do a UI thing really quick versus doing kind of following along the simplification work a little bit more and making the stuff more REST friendly. So if we came up with like a SDEF or SDEP 1.1 format, then ideally that would also include other HTTP verbs. But, you know.
Yeah, ideally, but I mean, it wouldn't have to. You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
yeah.
You could just, if we like this format, just have it support that, and then another evolution, you know, where we add like the whole shebang. But you know, just depending upon what's realistic and makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I'd be interested. I want to give this a chance to sort of get some impressions from folks in the community, and maybe this will get some more gears turning in this direction. But yeah, I think, I mean, it could go either way. It depends on who comes to it to do it. I mean, obviously, if somebody wants to do just a smaller iterative improvement and contribute the code, then that would be more than welcome. I think we need to eventually be driving in the direction of supporting more REST verbs. Well, thanks for listening to my spiel on that. And if you get a chance, I'd appreciate actually download it and take a look for folks that are familiar with these concepts. And just offer feedback. The initial intent wasn't really to change Fedora with this first step. It was just to show how easy it is. I mean, how little information really has to be provided in the end to get something useful out of Fedora. So.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm looking forward to just playing around with them and seeing if this approach is quite palatable, which, I mean, it looks really very nice.
Thanks. Well, with that, let's move on to the newly submitted issues. So it's been about 3 weeks since we've been really in this mode. So let's see, where were we last? I think the July 28th and 29th, I think, are the new ones. Yeah, because we already talked about fresh install of Fedora 3.2.1 missing Jenna packages. So we just have four new issues to go through and make a determination on. So the first one is FC Repo 518. This was submitted by Steve Bayless, and all this is a just a note that basically treating the RHELSINT documentation as a separate task. So I'm going to just go ahead and click open on that one.
Yeah, I'll plan to do that in the next couple of weeks after you see it.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
Then we have FC Repo 519. I'm going to try to paste these to the chat as we go through them here.
Oh, we haven't had one of these in a long time.
Yeah. Okay, so this is an interesting one. Piero Otuzzi reports that there's a problem connecting the Nokia phone as a mass storage device.
What does that mean?
I guess we could write in a Kubra plugin for that.
Kubra plugin, exactly.
Okay, I'm going to close this. He's thinking that this is Fedora, Fedora the distro.
Or 4.11. Yes. think he actually mentioned Fedora Coil 11.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and close that one then. That's a won't fix. All right, and FC Repo 520. This one, Bill, you submitted this one. It's support for HTML name encoding through the web admin.
This is one that Richard Green pointed out on the mailing list. It's just that some of the encodings for his primary example is the copyright symbol don't come through properly when using the web admin. And it's not actually the web admin. It's something underneath that, because the same thing happens using the Swing admin. But it seems like the encodings work properly when you use the number versions. So it's just a matter of looking into why those aren't getting pulled through properly.
Okay.
It seems like we're just missing the entity definitions for those values, which I listed in the comment.
Yeah. I don't know that this actually works, though. If you're including content in Fedora Foxmo, basically any XML, regardless of document type or schema, supports the common entity references LTGT, AMP, and quote, I think. The main ones. But in order to actually use anything else, beyond the pound sign reference to the character code, you really have to, from the XML document, you have to reference, to do it properly in XML, you have to reference a doc type which defines those entities. And that works in XHTML or HTML because those documents actually reference that as a doc type, and people know when given that doc type that those entities are defined within it. So you could do this in a managed data stream, because managed data stream isn't wrapped in Foxmel. But if the context here is like DC writes, for example, mm-hmm. And to make this happen and do it properly, I think would require a fairly significant redefinition of Foxmel, because those entity references would have to be, for the documents to be able to be standalone, would have to be defined in some something that we provide. So I actually, I don't know, do we have anybody else, any other XML geeks on the line who want to chime in on this one?
Sorry,
nobody
Chris.
Nobody wants to.
I'm just looking at the page on the Dublin Core website, actually, and its recommendation for Dublin Core and XML is not to use HTML entities.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's easy.
But it does say that numerical, it's perfectly fine to put them in as numerical values. Unicode encoding. So that would suggest it'd be better to have, a front end that's generating Dublin Core to, do that nicely, do that automatically, have some means of inserting the code and encoding them that way.
Yeah, that's true. That would do the work just as well. Yeah, if we did a conversion.
Steve, could you paste that link to the chat?
Yeah, I just
have
to do that.
Okay.
again.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. This says all other characters with a value higher than 127 should not be encoded with HTML entities, such as eacute, since these are not defined in XML. Numerical values are okay. Or
I guess you could allow people to actually type HTML entities in the front end, but it's the front end's responsibility to convert those rather than leaving it in the XML as a kind of a shortcut for entering them.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the end, the difficulty is with inline also, I mean, in general, even if it wasn't for this recommendation in Dublin Core, if you have an inline data stream in Fedora, there are certain requirements that need to be put on that in order for it to be wrapped properly in a FoxML document. And one of those requirements is that document type definitions are not included in the inline XML, because that's actually not a valid way to wrap an XML document. You can't have a document type definition in the middle of some arbitrary XML document. It always has to be at the root. So
we'd have to put this at the top if we wanted to allow for it.
Yeah.
As you were saying, that would require changing FoxML.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty tempted to do a won't fix on this one, unless anybody wants to wait on it a little longer and think about it. But I mean, I think maybe a won't fix and then a reference to this document would be good, with a recommendation.
Yeah, well, maybe open a separate issue to put something into the admin client to allow, you know, the correct way of inserting these characters rather than using any
characters. So if you were, so the correct way would be like to actually enter the character explicitly, or?
I mean, obviously you could just type in the, you know, the ampersand hash number representation. But you might, I don't know, let people pick special characters from this and encode them with the correct XML values that way.
Will that work in today's admin client, Bill? If you do ampersand anything?
You can do ampersand in the number value, and that works fine. And you can do ampersand LT and GT. That works fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly would be possible to just do a copy, I mean, a search replace on, you know, data stream content, that anytime we see ampersand copy and replace it with the numbered value.
Oh, so just as a sort of ease of data entry, but then, well, I guess then you'd have to kind of do that on the way back too, right? Somebody went back and edited their XML, they'd kind of expect it to look like...
Yeah.
Well, actually, the way it looks on the admin client now is that if you put in a special character using the number or one of the others that work, it'll come back as that special character, as opposed in the
okay.
admin client. So
okay.
It doesn't.
So
it doesn't still have that encoding.
Well, that
so
seems
someone actually typed in there, had a keyboard that generated, for instance, the copyright symbol, and just typed that in. Would that work?
I guess it depends on what that keyboard actually generated. It seems like that probably would work.
Okay, because I mean, that's if you wanted to do this in Word or something like that, although there are shortcuts, aren't there? Word auto replace nasties that do the same thing, but I think, you know, it's a question of, you know, how do you enter this sort of stuff normally?
Yeah, it seems like I know with character encoding, there's often mismatches down the pipe that a client could be sort of entering it in one way, and then it gets submitted to the server as like UTF-8, but you know, when it originally came in, it was encoded in Latin 1. But this, I think, Steve, it's certainly fair to go ahead and submit another one if you have an idea for how editing the Foxhole.
Yeah, well, maybe, do you want me to respond to Richard's post on the list, and I can quote this reference and, you know, just open up some suggestions on, you know, ease of use from a user's point of view?
Yeah, actually, that would be good.
I'm sure we should have some ideas on how he'd like it to work as well. So.
Yeah. Actually, if you could reference the... I don't know if... Did he see the issue, right? Bill, you already mentioned the issue, right?
I did, right, in a response.
Well, why don't we... Steve, if you're going to do that, then why don't we keep this one in the state it's in and have the discussion with Richard on the list?
Yeah. Okay.
That's good. Thanks. So the last one is actually just a repeat of what we were talking about last week, which was merging API A and M across the board and simplifying auth in. So we don't have to revisit that this week. So that does it for our review of newly submitted issues. Any other notes that people want to make before we go ahead and conclude today's call?
It seemed like there was a point at which we were trying to go back and hit some of the older submitted issues. Just wondering if that's something that needs to get picked up again.
Yeah. If we don't have anything big next week, maybe I want to suggest that we kind of turn next week's call into a bug fest or a tracking fest, focused mostly on just nailing those things down. I think that's a good idea because, yeah, we did make a decent dent in the old historic ones and then never came back and finished them up. So. Okay. All right, anything else? Anyone? Well, thank you all for participating today, and have a good week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.